This is the Slaw Sports Show on Anchor.fm, with weekly episodes highlighting and breaking down the biggest stories across sports. Make sure to keep up with the latest episodes and breaking news on Twitter by following at Slaw Sports Show, and keep up to date with the latest breaking news around the NFL. The official site of the show, knoble87.wixsite.com/slawsportsreport. And now, here's your host, Cole Noble.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to the Slaw Sports Show. I'm your host, Cole Noble, a.k.a. Slaw, here for another episode of our NFL season previews, breakdowns, divisional by divisional that we've been doing the last couple of weeks. We have two more left. Today's episode discussing the AFC North, and next week's episode concluding with the NFC North. And then we'll get right into it. Break down every single game on our notes, and then we will come to you live in two weeks, so not next week, but the week after, and we will be giving our record prediction preview for all 32 teams, playoff predictions, wild card predictions. All of that will be broken down in a tier list for all 32 teams within their divisions. Now that we are getting close to wrapping up all eight divisions in the National Football League, so as you can see in today's header, we will be discussing the AFC North today. So it's an exciting one to talk about. It's been a lot of talk of the town throughout the entire offseason, mainly being one guy in particular making his way into the division this year with the Cleveland Browns in Deshaun Watson. So, of course, we will be giving a Deshaun Watson update. Big news week for him, you know, last week and into this week as well to discuss with the future, you know, for this season. If you want to talk about the season preview for, you know, this division, the Browns, the league in general, I mean, we have to figure out what the case is going to be with Deshaun Watson going forward with the Cleveland Browns this year as their starting quarterback, and if he even will be the starting quarterback with the Cleveland Browns this year. So finally, we're getting around to it, and we will be discussing the Deshaun Watson situation. What's the current stake of the situation? What's to come? What's expected with the decision upcoming with Deshaun Watson and all of that. But before we get started with the Browns and with Deshaun Watson, first and foremost, thank you all for joining the Slaw Sports Show. You guys are the best, always stopping by every single time we do the show, picking it up whenever we have it uploaded as well on the channel, picking up on the podcast, anywhere you go, at the Slaw Sports Show, on anywhere you get a podcast. You guys are the best. For those of you tuning in live on YouTube, hit the subscribe button. Why not? You're already here. Hit the like button as well. Hit the notification bell so you know when we're live each and every week. All of that goes a long way towards supporting the channel and continuing growing the network that we're building here on the Slaw Sports Show. So with that being said, and the thanks and appreciation to all of you guys, we're going to go ahead and get started breaking down this division, breaking down these four teams. Have some training camp clips. We have some training camp notes from the beat writers. All that stuff to discuss, and just ultimately the roster implications, what to watch for this season out of these four teams, and ultimately what's the stake of this division. What are they going to look like this year? Are we going to have another Super Bowl contender, another Super Bowl team representing the AFC this year again out of this division? All of that we will be discussing here on the show. So let's go ahead and get started with the big news and the hot name throughout the entire offseason cycle. Let's start with the Cleveland Browns and Deshaun Watson. So what is going on right now with Deshaun Watson? We saw the suspension. Now everyone immediately went to it. A six-game suspension that Judge Sue L. Robinson placed down on Deshaun Watson. Everyone thought, it seemed like everyone thought that was the done deal. That is not the case. It is not a done deal with Deshaun Watson. The six-game suspension was the initial, ruling on Deshaun Watson, but the NFL right now is appealing the six-game suspension. They're going to try to have it due by the end of the end of the day today, according to Mary Kay Cabot, a big insider with the Cleveland Browns, Browns beat writer for Cleveland.com. She's always on top of everything Cleveland. So she says that it will be due, the NFL's appeal, by the end of the day today, and the NFL is appealing for an indefinite suspension that would be a minimum of 1 year. Perhaps even more significant given the structure of Watson's contract. That coming from Jeff Darlington, ESPN NFL reporter. So that is the current state of Deshaun Watson. No, it will not be a six-game suspension. Expect it to be longer. Personally, I was just thinking of maybe the route of what the NFL initially wanted to do with Deshaun Watson, and that being the 12-game, I think it was $10 million settlement that they had in line if Deshaun Watson, you know, settled with the NFL but ultimately decided not to. I figured that would, you know, end up being the case, because right now this is a battle between the NFL and the NFLPA right now of how long the suspension will be for Deshaun Watson. But the NFL, again, like I said, wants this to be an indefinite suspension, a, you know, year-long suspension that they were gonna have to review and try to implement for him to, you know, keep him off the field for the entire year this year. So right now, currently a 6-game suspension, currently due by the end of today, is the NFL appeal, and we'll see what the NFL has to say about Deshaun Watson here in the next few hours, you'd have to think, leading up to the end of the week. So what does this mean for the Cleveland Browns? I mean, obviously, they put a lot of capital into Deshaun Watson, being their starting quarterback for this team, being their franchise guy for this team. You know, probably not going to be this season, but nevertheless, when Deshaun Watson comes back, he's going to step foot as being one of the top passers in, you know, in the National Football League, and, you know, trying to get back to the top of his game that he was, you know, having back with the Houston Texans. Now that he, you know, hopefully will get back onto the field, and Deshaun Watson's, mentality and, you know, his perspective wanting to get back on the field, hopefully sooner than later. But with the NFL, you know, they're going to try to battle this out for as long as possible until they, you know, have a right decision. And you know, something that they believe in is true to the cause with this Deshaun Watson case. So for the Cleveland Browns this year, you know, however long it's going to be, 6 games, 12 games, the full season, they will have to be turning their attention to getting Jacoby Brissett ready for game action, ready to take the field as a starting quarterback for this team. They went out and, you know, got Josh Rosen as the backup. They still have Josh Dobbs on the roster as well. But right now, their sole, you know, idea should be getting Jacoby Brissett on the field and, you know, ready to go with the ones and ready for game action come week one, which is very interesting because, you know, the Cleveland Browns are wanting Deshaun Watson to have some preseason action. From what I know, you know, and I've read through the beat writers, Deshaun Watson's still getting all the reps with the first team. So it's just very confusing to me why you're not getting Jacoby Brissett ready to go with the starters, with the one team, if you know he is going to be your starting quarterback for a, you know, huge chunk of the season. He's going to be the guy that's going to be taking over for this team. So Jacoby Brissett, you know, being the starting quarterback, that's what we're watching out for with the Cleveland Browns right now in practice, is trying to see him eventually get some reps with the ones and, you know, start building a repertoire, see who he does build a repertoire with out of the starting group until, you know, they figure things out with Deshaun Watson, however long that will be this season. But if we want to get a good look at this offense, it's not really something we're getting right now out of training camp of how the starting offense, the starting group that they will put out week one will look and mesh together in week one with Jacoby Brissett under center. So that's what I want to start watching for, especially after today, if we can start getting some official news from the NFL on, you know, the Deshaun Watson front and into the rest of training camp and, you know, upcoming with the practices. And, you know, into preseason in the next couple of weeks, see, you know, who Jacoby Brissett starts to lean on within this offense. So let's shift now and talk about some of these guys in this offense. And first, let's start with Nick Chubb, because with Deshaun Watson out of the picture for a considerable, if not the entire season, fire up Nick Chubb. I mean, fire him up in this offense. Nick Chubb is a beast, and I expect him to have a big year this year with no Deshaun Watson in the picture. Nick Chubb will be the main and heavy focal point of this offense under Kevin Stefanski within this offense. Last year had, you know, over 1,200 yards, nearly 1,300 yards on the ground with 8 touchdowns. This guy was a factor on the ground in the run game, played 14 games. Yes, Kareem Hunt will still be a factor in that backfield, but Nick Chubb is going to have a heavy share of the workload. And, you know, they're going to use him a lot and really often in this offense, you'd have to think. So I'm excited to see him get into some action in the preseason and see how much, you know, more of an impact that he has on this team this year within this offense. But in the passing game, the Cleveland Browns get a big upgrade this offseason at the wide receiver position, bringing in a new number one wide receiver into the fold in Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper coming over from the Dallas Cowboys, you know, had a little bit of, you know, sustainability issues with the Cowboys staying on the field. You know, he's already not practicing a little bit with the Cleveland Browns. I'm not personally worried about him. I think he's going to be ready to go come game time. And I mean, this is a guy who's, you know, due for 1,000 yards every single season, it seems like, where he's fully healthy playing, you know, at least 15 games in the season. So Amari Cooper, he's going to be that guy in this offense, being that number one wide receiver and, you know, the receiver that they traded for him to be in this offense for Jacoby Brissett. And honestly, you know, personally, I think, you know, Amari Cooper, if he stays healthy, he's going to be a consistent force on the field as this number one wide receiver. Personally, I'm looking at the depth of this wide receiver position, because there's some guys on here who are starting to make some, you know, plays in training camp, and there's also some guys who aren't that you might want to start worrying about here. But Donovan Peoples-Jones, right now looking like, you know, the surefire number two of this offense. But you got rookie wide receiver David Bell. You got second-year wide receiver Anthony Schwartz out of Auburn. You got Jakeem Grant. You got Michael Woods. Those two guys have been making plays in training camp as well. So I want to see how the rest of this wide receiver roster comes into place. I know that there's a lot of, you know, big headlines early on surrounding David Bell, the rookie, and what he was able to do so far in training camp. But right now, he is currently injured and out of practice with a foot injury, which sidelined him on, you know, 8 days ago. So he's missed a big chunk of training camp so far. Back in minicamp, David Bell was a big focal point that a lot of headlines were on. But, you know, David Bell's still a guy that, you know, a lot of people are saying to watch out for, making some early career noise. You know, if he overtakes Anthony Schwartz in this offense, some people even monitor the progression of eventually taking over Donovan Peoples-Jones in this offense. So David Bell is one to watch out for that we're currently not seeing right now. So don't quite lose the picture on David Bell. But lately, you know, outside of David Bell's, you know, with David Bell's absence, and I think, you know, Javon Mims is out now, in the offense right now at training camp. It's really opened the door, really opened the door, like I said, for Michael Woods and Jakeem Grant to start getting involved and getting some, you know, valuable reps in with this offense. And those guys, you know, as of this week, have been starting to make some plays. So this is just, you know, a position group that's going to have some battles there, you know, even into the top range, right behind Amari Cooper, to see how those, you know, positions shake out come training camp and, or excuse me, come the start of the season, and which guys are going to get onto the field first. So with all that considered, you know, of course, you know, the tight end room as well, a lot of good things coming from Harrison Bryant, David Njoku, back under contract, you know, finally back under a long-term contract in Cleveland. So he's going to be a force as the starting tight end and a, you know, big body, reliable tight end for Jacoby Brissett in the middle of the field to work with as well, and those two guys. So offensively, they have some weapons willing to go in and try to, you know, handle the load and, you know, get Jacoby Brissett as far as he's going to go this year as a starting quarterback. And, I mean, Jacoby Brissett, he's been here before. I mean, time and time again, having to take over for quarterbacks. He did it with Tom Brady, did it with Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, did it in Indianapolis for Andrew Luck, did it in Miami for Tua Tagovailoa, having to come in and be the guy. I have no issue, no concern with Jacoby Brissett coming in and being this guy. You know, when everyone's talked about the 6-game suspension for Deshaun Watson, I immediately looked at the schedule and said, you know, Jacoby Brissett can go 4-2, maybe even 5-1 in those first 6 games without Deshaun Watson. But now we're looking at a longer suspension, so we'll see, you know, what the Browns can do this year, and maybe even with Deshaun Watson out of the picture completely this season, maybe it's just, you know, just float and see what happens throughout the entire season. And that, you know, just might be the plan for the Cleveland Browns offense this year. But on the offensive line, they look stacked. You know, no more J.C. Treader. We talked about him being a center option for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in free agency to replace an injured Ryan Jensen. But the Browns replaced him easily with Nick Harris. The rest of their offensive line stays the same. You know, one of the top units in the National Football League, Jack Conklin, Wyatt Teller, Joel Bitonio, Jedrick Wills Jr. They have some great guys on the offensive line that are going to hold up strong and protect Jacoby Brissett this season. And, you know, some good offensive help around at, you know, the weapons arsenal, you know, as you could say, in this Browns offense. So let's talk about the defense now. This is what I'm more interested in. Just talk about the young guys on this defense in Cleveland, and also, you know, the two studs on the defensive line, Jadeveon Clowney and Myles Garrett. Those two are teaming back up again. They were great together last year. They're going to be great again this year together. I was really happy that the Browns re-signed Jadeveon to make, you know, two number one overall picks on that defensive line at the edge rusher position. Is absolutely insane of a duo and combination to go up against any given week when you face this Browns defense. But Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, he's a beast. I'm wanting to see more out of him this year. Anthony Walker the same way, at the middle linebacker positions, and, you know, Will linebacker and Jeremiah. But the big thing for me is the secondary and the young guys. The young guys that I love a lot. Denzel Ward, right now, he's still out of practice. Suffered 7 days ago last week. A foot injury that, you know, he's been kept out of practice from. It's really opened the door for a lot of these young guys at this cornerback position. You know, Greg Newsome, the second, a first-round pick last year out of Northwestern. Greedy Williams out of LSU has coming onto the fold. But a big one, Martin Emerson, has had a lot of news. But the one that I've seen a lot of, you know, the last couple of days has been A.J. Green. A.J. Green is really pushing to get some playing time this season, in terms of what he can do on the field for the Cleveland Browns this year. So A.J. Brown, an undrafted rookie from last year, you know, coming in and training camp has been balling out. I mean, we're going to pull it up here. Let's see if we can grab it here. Some A.J. Green highlights. A.J. Green, the cornerback, not A.J. Green, the wide receiver. A.J. Green, the cornerback with the Cleveland Browns, has been making some headlines. So here we go. We'll see a little bit of some A.J. Green action here. Looks like going up against Josh Rosen at training camp. Getting in, breaking up a pass there on the sideline. So A.J. Green, like I said, has been making a lot of big plays as of late this week, and really, like I said, pushing for some playing time in this deep secondary. And yeah, I mean, just, you know, the young corners that they have, eventually hoping to get Denzel Ward back into the fold at practice. You know, Denzel Warden back there in that secondary. But even, you know, they got four guys who are all considerable playmakers at the safety position as well. John Johnson III, Grant Delpit, Ronnie Harrison, and Richard LeCunte as well. Those guys can all be playmakers for this Browns defense. That secondary is absolutely stacked. They got in some new help in the special teams. Corey Bohorka is coming in from the Green Bay Packers and drafting Cade York, you know, draft pick this year at kicker as well from LSU. So revamping that special teams as well. But this Browns team, I mean, with Deshaun Watson, they could have been something special this year with Deshaun Watson back in due time. This team is going to be one to watch out for, and, you know, not one to overlook by any means in the National Football League, because they have a young roster full of very talented players at every position. And when they get Deshaun Watson back, that's when we're going to have to start worrying about this team. But as for this year, with Jacoby Brissett under center, like I said, this team might just float throughout the entire season until they get Watson back. So not expecting too much, not really expecting playoffs out of the Browns. But it all just depends on what happens tonight with the NFL's appeal with the Deshaun Watson suspension. So that's the Cleveland Browns. Also some, you know, news to watch out for. Maybe some, you know, more Demetric Felton, D'Ernest Johnson. Some waiver wire guys that, you know, were some big heroes last year in fantasy football due to some injuries. Those guys still in place in Cleveland as well. Just do right on the board and, you know, wait till, you know, October, late October, November. If anything happens to this Browns running back, you know, group, those guys might start getting some action off the waiver wire. So that's the Cleveland Browns. Now let's switch up to our next team, the next big buzz team out of this division. And it's going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers. So let's talk about these Yinzers down in Pittsburgh now. Having a quarterback competition. We talked about a quarterback competition last week in Carolina. This quarterback competition has been a little more shaky, it seemed, in Pittsburgh between Mitchell Trubisky and Kenny Pickett, first-round pick out of Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh guys staying in Pittsburgh was a big thing in the draft. The only first-round pick quarterback. But they went out in the offseason. They signed Mitchell Trubisky before the draft, and, you know, everyone thought, you know, what's going to happen now with the draft, with Mitchell Trubisky being there. you know, honestly, Mitch Trubisky has handled this like a professional. Came in, you know, understood what happened, you know, with the draft, Kenny Pickett coming on board, and understood his role immediately in Pittsburgh. But right now, these two guys battling it out. It looks like Mitchell Trubisky has the advantage so far throughout training camp. A little bit of Mason Rudolph chatter as well with, you know, the players potentially signing more with Mason Rudolph in this offense. But these other two guys are still trying to learn this offense in Pittsburgh and get it, you know, under wraps and, you know, in place in terms of being the quarterback for this team. So I would still give Mitchell Trubisky the nod right now to be our week one starter in Pittsburgh. But, you know, like I said, Mitchell Trubisky has handled this like a pro. When they drafted Kenny Pickett in the first round, he understood what was going to happen in training camp. And so far, he said all the right things and done all the right things. So we're going to bring it up here. This coming from 93.7, The Fan in Pittsburgh, it seems. Josh Roundtree, host of the show here, with an interview from Mitchell Trubisky discussing the quarterback competition and helping Kenny Pickett along in this offense.
I think it's just being a great teammate every day, having those conversations in the meeting room, in the locker room, or wherever we're at practice, helping him if he has any questions, and just share my experiences with him. I mean, going into year six, I have a lot of experience when it comes to training camp, when it comes to learning offenses. So I've seen a lot of defenses. So just having those conversations, it helps me as well, and we're just all trying to push each other. And when we do that, then we all get better.
So there we hear it from Mitchell Trubisky, you know, just trying to be the guy to help Kenny Pickett along, but at the same time knows what he has to do in this offense, you know, and ultimately, you know, fight for his spot to be the starting quarterback for this team in Pittsburgh. So Mitchell Trubisky, he's made some plays. Kenny Pickett has made some plays in training camp. Those two guys are, you know, working along. They're also putting in a little bit of Mason Rudolph, a very much rotation group so far in training camp with this Pittsburgh Steelers team in terms of their quarterback group right now, their quarterback competition. So yeah, the MVP in the chat from Mitchell Trubisky. But you know, we even have you know, some reps here that we'll try to pull up from yesterday's practice, and this from Mitchell Trubisky, as you say, you know, as you can see, hooking up with newly extended Deontay Johnson, that we'll talk about in a few minutes with his contract. So Mitchell Trubisky's making some plays. I believe had a touchdown yesterday as well to George Pickens in team drills. George Pickens has been coming onto the scene insanely fast in Pittsburgh. It looks like, you know, at the time when Deontay Johnson was having, you know, the issues with his contract situation, it looked like George Pickens, first year out of Georgia, it looked like George Pickens might be the guy that ends up being the number one wide receiver for this team. But Deontay Johnson, back in the fold in Pittsburgh. He's going to be back, you know, starting out the number one guy. But George Pickens, I mean, eventually he might end up taking over this room and taking over this position in Pittsburgh. So I've liked what I've seen a lot out of George Pickens. But this quarterback competition, I got to give it to Money Mitch right now. Money Mitch looks like he's going to be the guy to be the starter week one. I don't know how long it'll be till we see Kenny Pickett. I mean, maybe Mitch Trubisky is able to hold him off maybe the entire season. So I don't really know. This is going to be a very fluid battle, it seems like. Tomlin doesn't seem like very ecstatic to find his starter, or, you know, in a hurry, I guess you would say, to find his starter for week one. But ultimately, he's going to, you know, they're going to determine who's going to be their guy in Pittsburgh. And right now, I would just have to give that nod to Mitchell Trubisky. So anyways, that's the quarterback competition. Now let's talk about this new extended receiver we have in Pittsburgh as of yesterday. So pull this up. This has been a long battle all offseason long between Deontay Johnson and the Pittsburgh Steelers trying to agree to a new deal. Of course, Deontay Johnson from that draft class that featured A.J. Brown, Deebo Samuel, DK Metcalf, all guys that got their big contracts this offseason. But this contract extension from the Pittsburgh Steelers looks a lot different than the money and the years and the guarantees those other guys in that draft class got. But this was the decision they came to in Pittsburgh. This from Mike Garafolo of NFL Network. The Steelers and wide receiver Deontay Johnson have agreed to a two-year, $36 million extension, sources say. The sides worked last night and this morning, which was yesterday, to end his hold-in with a shorter deal than we've seen from others and allows him to be a free agent again after the 2024 season. So this one was honestly unexpected for me. I personally expected no contract to happen with the Deontay Johnson front from Pittsburgh. I expected the Pittsburgh Steelers to pretty much do what the Steelers do and let Deontay Johnson walk. You know, don't give him another contract, ride him out to the end of the contract and let him walk in free agency. That's what we've seen time and time again from the Steelers. I was secretly hoping for a trade to the Green Bay Packers, but ultimately they get a deal done. It's great for Deontay. He has now two more years in Pittsburgh to play, you would think, with Mitchell Trubisky, and then play a year with Kenny Pickett, and then go into free agency and try to get a bigger deal, more in line of what these other wide receivers got this offseason. So ultimately, big deal. Big, you know, win for the Steelers keeping Deontay Johnson, and honestly, big win for Deontay Johnson getting some money now, understanding his, you know, role with this team, understanding his market as well, and being able to build on it, you know, his career these next 2 years and go back into free agency in 2024 and try for a bigger contract then. So that's what we saw from Deontay Johnson. And, you know, the rest of the wide receiver position, George Pickens, I'm really excited about him. Chase Claypool, you know, Mapletron will be Mapletron. Not too high on him personally in terms of like a fantasy football perspective, but I still think he can be a weapon well utilized within this offense. Pat Freiermuth will be a great one as well, second-year tight end in Pittsburgh. I want to talk about Najee. Najee Harris last year saw one of the biggest workloads in the National Football League, and this year, with a, you know, new quarterback situation in the fold, is it going to happen? I mean, does Najee get even more of a workload last year? Okay, actually, we'll pull this up here for some perspective. List of every rookie in NFL history to have 300 carries and 70 receptions. Najee Harris. Najee Harris is the only one in NFL history to have 300 carries and 70 receptions in their rookie year. He did that last year, and this is what I'm talking about. Is he going to have even bigger of a role in 2022 from what he was able to do last season? I honestly think he does. I really like Najee Harris in the first round. I easily see him being a top five pick, and you know, if I'm at five, I'm taking Najee if he's still on the board. Last year, he had 1,200 rushing yards, 7 touchdowns on 307 carries, 74 receptions is the total numbers for what he did last year. He falls off this year for sure. I don't know. I mean, this offensive line has some, you know, losses this offseason, doesn't look as strong. But honestly, Najee is a beast. I think Najee is a beast and ultimately can handle this workload. They didn't add much behind him. Benny Snell Jr., Anthony McFarland Jr., still those guys behind him with this offense. But, I mean, yeah, this offensive line, Okorafor, James Daniels, Mason Cole, Kevin Dotson, Dan Moore, they don't look like the strongest group. But I still think Najee Harris can be that guy with this offense to have, you know, another 1,000-yard year. To build upon what he did as a rookie. Now, I don't know if the stats are better for Najee Harris, but I think he gets more of a workload. I think he gets the ball a lot more in this offense. Maybe Mitchell Trubisky tries to pass the ball a lot more than Ben Roethlisberger did, but I still think they use a healthy, healthy dose of Najee Harris within this offense in year two. And that, for one, is something I'm excited about with this offense from a fantasy football perspective with this Steelers offense. Najee is the guy that I'm targeting and looking for in this offense. So now for this defense, you know, big boost today and this week in practice. Minka Fitzpatrick returning, dealt with a wrist injury, fell off a bike, but he, you know, he was back, non-football related injury, but he is back at practice. So it's great having Najee back out, having Minka back out there, being a force and a leader on that defensive front. But, I mean, they still have some absolute dogs and menaces on this defense. Guys, you know, like a Devin Bush, like a TJ Watt, like a Cameron Hayward, these guys are absolute beasts on this defense and will be again this year. Last year, TJ Watt nearly broke the sack record. I believe tied the sack record last year. He's going to be that same type of guy this year on this defensive line. Cameron Hayward is as dominant as ever, consistently every single year. Bringing in Devin Bush was a huge addition for this defense. That was a super underrated free agent signing. Was a super underrated free agent signing. Devin Bush, draft pick of the Steelers, Pittsburgh homer, has always been consistent as well. I'm mostly talking about Miles Jack. Miles Jack, a huge underrated signing from the Jacksonville Jaguars coming into the Steelers this year. But, still got guys, Cameron Sutton, Akilah Witherspoon will lock things down in the secondary with Minka Fitzpatrick and Terrell Edmonds. This defense looks as great as ever. They got some big input this year with Brian Flores entering in now as a defensive assistant with this team and coming into it. So this Steelers team, ultimately, in terms of what, they have on their roster, they got a lot of guys who Tomlin will have to make it work with. And Mike Tomlin never has losing seasons, always, is in the 8-win-plus caliber with his team and with his guys. Tomlin gets them in tip-top shape and everything, time and time again, no matter who he's working with. But there's some guys where Matt Canada and Mike Tomlin with this offense can make things work. Brian Flores with his defense can get things figured out as well, with Terrell Austin, their defensive coordinator. But Brian Flores being, the senior defensive assistant, they have a lot of guys with a lot of experience running this defense, running this offense. So I'm ready to see, what they can do, because ultimately this could be a wild card team, and not a wild card playoff team, but a wild card team where we don't know where they can flip-flop this year. Can Mitchell Trubisky, get back into the playoffs? We're talking about a guy who dominated that one season with the Chicago Bears. I believe it was like a 12-14 win team with the Chicago Bears, leading them into the playoffs with Matt Nagy as his head coach. He's been now sitting behind Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills for the last two seasons, and now getting a shot again as a starting quarterback. I believe he takes the reins, like I said, by week one. Najee Harris is going to, lighten the workload for this team. So the Steelers are a team to be excited about, but not one to be overly optimistic about either this season. So that's, my outlook on this Pittsburgh Steelers squad. I want to see what they can do. I'm never going to doubt Mike Tomlin. I don't want to bet against Mike Tomlin. But they're going to have to fight and crawl again this season. But I ultimately see, maybe a push for a late playoff spot this season if they can start stacking some wins and get on a roll up there in Pittsburgh. So that's the Pittsburgh Steelers. Let's now move on to the next team to discuss on today's agenda in the AFC North, and that will be the Baltimore Ravens. So the Baltimore Ravens, the first thing to talk about in Baltimore has to be quarterback Lamar Jackson, still dealing with a contract situation. Back at, he's at practice. It's not a, full-on holdout by any means, but Kyler Murray got his contract most recently at the quarterback position. We're still in a wait-and-see scenario with Lamar Jackson and the deal that he will get. Will he even get one from the Baltimore Ravens? Will he get one before the season starts? Will he have to wait till next year with Lamar Jackson? This is just going to be a very interesting situation. I mean, Lamar Jackson is pretty much representing himself in this, scenario and whole, potential new contract conversation with the Baltimore Ravens. It seems like Lamar Jackson is ready to go into the season and play without a contract this year, and ultimately, try to bet on himself this year. But that's, a big storyline to watch out for in Baltimore. I've seen a lot of mixed input, a lot of mixed reviews in terms of the Lamar Jackson contract extension, and if he can stay in Baltimore, as he should, being, the franchise quarterback of this team. You pay your franchise quarterbacks, rightfully so. But this is an interesting, dilemma and conversation right now going on in Baltimore with John Harbaugh, with this team, and with their quarterback in Lamar Jackson. So the question is, from my perspective, will we see this contract go down before the season? I'm on the limb of saying no. I'm more on the line of, the Lamar Jackson bet on himself type of deal. So what does that look like for, he's got to get to the playoffs. Lamar Jackson has to get this team back into the playoffs. He has to have a fully healthy season, you know, back to his MVP level that he had, I believe, in 2019, and, you know, back to that level of play and ultimately win a, you know, win another playoff game, go on a playoff run with this Baltimore Ravens team. That is what's going to get you a contract in Baltimore in a long-term top of, you know, top-tier quarterback money deal that, you know, you would think he is looking for on this second contract. So the person that is going to help him in this offense is going to be Rashad Bateman at wide receiver. He's taken the reins now as his number one wide receiver in this offense. I'm excited to see what he can do in this role. You know, after they traded Marquise Hollywood Brown to the Arizona Cardinals back on draft day, back in April, that gave full wave for Rashad Bateman to be the number one wide receiver in this offense. A lot of reports coming out of training camp in Baltimore have said that Rashad Bateman looks the part of being that number one wide receiver, but is ultimately just trying to, you know, get over the hump and get over to some consistency issues, being that number one wide receiver in practice. And I think, you know, he might be well on his way. Once the season starts, I think he'll start getting more comfortable in that role. They just had to make sure to keep him healthy, already dealing with some minor injuries in practice. So getting him back into the, you know, in tip-top shape and at wide receiver one level will be a huge addition for Lamar Jackson. Mark Andrews, probably going to be his top target again this year. Easily going to be a top three tight end in fantasy. Target him early on in your drafts. Outside of those two guys, I mean, Devin Duvernay, James Prochet, Tylan Wallace, not guys I'm really ecstatic about, and they didn't really add anything to this room. And to, you know, their offensive weapons to help out Lamar Jackson and give him, you know, some credit to try to go on a run this year while playing, you know, for a contract extension from the Baltimore Ravens. But offensive line stays in place, bringing in a rookie center in Tyler Linderbaum. They got Kevin Zeitler, Tyree Phillips, Ronnie Stanley, Morgan Moses. Those guys are all there, you know, great, you know, front five. Daniel Falele, Ben Cleveland, Ben Powers have some great depth at the offensive line as well to surround Lamar Jackson in this offense. The big thing for this offense is going to be the running back room. What are these running backs going to get on the field? And are these running backs going to be on the field in week one? That's the big question right now in Baltimore is, when are we going to see J.K. Dobbins return, and when are we going to see Gus Edwards return? We do have some rehab updates from John Harbaugh from yesterday to talk about. It looks like we're going to see maybe a little bit of J.K. Dobbins, you know, back in some form at practice. Not fully practiced by any means, but he will, I mean, hopefully be back on the field doing, you know, some drills in a limited capacity on Monday. John Harbaugh said he's J.K. Dobbins is making a hurry to get back on the field, but ultimately Gus Edwards is a little further behind J.K. Dobbins, so I don't think we see J.K. Dobbins, I don't think we see Gus Edwards in week one. J.K. Dobbins, however, might get back into the fold. I mean, there's a good little Twitter banter back and forth between J.K. Dobbins and Ian Rappaport about his status for week one, but J.K. Dobbins is going to be the one coming in to, you know, the week of week one. Expect him to have, you know, a questionable status going into the first game of the season, and ultimately looks like he probably, I mean, week one will probably end up being a game time decision, if I'm going to say right now early on. But, you know, if we're seeing him back in practice on Monday, that'll be a big move for J.K. Dobbins trying to, you know, make a push back to get back before the start of the season. Gus Edwards, however, it looks like he's a lot farther out in terms of getting back on the field. But the Ravens added some assurance at the position. They brought in Mike Davis, right before training camp, at the very start of training camp. Coming in, you know, a free agent sign. Last year, spent the year with the Atlanta Falcons, so maybe see some Mike Davis in week one in terms of, you know, the running back position with this offense. But J.K. Dobbins, you know, he's eventually going to get right, and he's going to eventually be the, you know, the big role player in this entire offense, and utilizing him in terms of what he can do on the field. So that's just the look for, I mean, you know, the lookout right now with J.K. Dobbins. A rookie last year had 800 yards, 9 touchdowns. In 2020, last year didn't get to see him in Baltimore. So trying to get him back onto the field now will be a big thing for this offense. So that's what we have for the offense in Baltimore. We got to talk about the defense now as well. Move the page and turn to the other side of the ball in Baltimore. Adafi Owe looks like an absolute beast on that defensive line going into year two. That guy, I mean, right now in practice, he looks like the biggest guy in practice. He's moving like the biggest, strongest guy in practice. The shoulder looks great. He looks absolutely phenomenal. And now that they have David Ojabo signed, you know, finally making it all of the draft picks signed this year, if they can get David Ojabo on the field, with Calais Campbell, with Tyus Bauer, with Patrick Queen, they have some guys who are going to be some absolute menaces on this defensive front. In Baltimore, they got, you know, some stellar, stellar talent in the secondary as well. Marcus Peters, Marlon Humphrey, Kyle Fuller, Marcus Williams, Chuck Clark, and then you add in rookie Kyle Hamilton as well. Kyle Hamilton has had a little bit of a tough go in practice. It looked like, you know, the last day of practice, your most recent practice, Kyle Hamilton limped off the field, was dealing with some issues, I think with his back, and then was, you know, came back in, started limping off the field. There's the big play we saw a couple weeks ago in practice. Kyle Hamilton getting burned by a practice squad player. Undrafted free agent, potential practice squad player. We can actually pull that one up for us. We can see that play. We got to show it. It's a funny one to show from the Ravens practice. But here, Kyle Hamilton, see here lined up with 29, just blows right past him in practice. Not a good look. But, you know, we saw what the rookie can do from Notre Dame. And, you know, you win some, you lose some. That's just training camp for you in practice in general. So he's still going to be another impact player to move around as a, you know, defensive chess piece, if you will, in that secondary. Patrick Queen, honestly, is the one out of this entire defense I want to see step up and make, you know, another step forward. In terms of a production in this defense, but nevertheless, at the end of it, this is a top tier unit in terms of, you know, defenses as a whole in the National Football League. Justin Madubuike, Michael Pierce as well, two names that we also didn't mention on this defense. They have great guys, superb, talented monsters on this defense in Baltimore who will absolutely be ready to play come week one and will torment, you know, opposing offenses week in and week out, and ultimately will be the reason that this team, in my opinion, has a shot to, you know, take back this division throne in the AFC North. And they are my preseason favorites to do so. Even if the Cincinnati Bengals just, you know, are coming off a Super Bowl, you know, berth and, you know, playing in the Super Bowl back in February, I still think right now it looks like the Baltimore Ravens, they look like, you know, as a whole in the preseason, right now, when you look at their roster, they look like they have the strongest put-together roster in this division once they get Dolins back into the fold and Lamar Jackson, you know, playing for himself this year, betting on himself this year for a new contract. I like the hungry Lamar. I like this hungry defense playing for John Harbaugh in Baltimore at the end of it for me. So one more team, and then we'll wrap it up and get out of here for this NFL season preview. We got to talk about the team we just, you know, mentioned. The Cincinnati Bengals, last year's AFC champs, last year's AFC representatives in the Super Bowl. Let's talk about the Cincinnati Bengals. Who they? Right now, the Bengals, I mean, honestly, for me, are they going to avoid the Super Bowl hangover? I see a big regression from the Cincinnati Bengals. I'm going to have a lot of hate and a lot of heat for this take. I have already gotten it a lot. I see regression from the Cincinnati Bengals unit this year. I just don't think that they are, you know, going to be able to replicate what they did last year. This season, I don't think they should have been there last year, you know, but they got there. So at the end of the day, yes, they were there. But this year, I think that there's going to be regression. But still, you know, Joe Burrow, Joey B, you know, proclaimed to be one of the top quarterbacks in the National Football League. I can see it. I can see both ways. I have my stance on, you know, the entire situation. But Joe Burrow is still a dog at the quarterback position, throwing to Ja'Marr Chase. The year two of Ja'Marr Chase, what are we going to see out of him in year two? Another look out of him, a full season on tape out of Ja'Marr Chase going into year two. But still, this wide receiver room looks absolutely stacked for the Baltimore, or excuse me, for the Cincinnati Bengals. T. Higgins is incredible. Tyler Boyd, slightly as you know, gone down from what he was in Cincinnati, but still, you know, being a number three in this offense, he's one of the best number threes in the National Football League. You know, still at the end of the day, but T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase, Tyler Boyd running out this offense. They're bringing in Hayden Hurst at tight end, moving on from C.J. Uzomah, losing him in free agency. But the big thing in Cincinnati when you talk about this offense is, you know, the ultimate, you know, kryptonite of what they're able to face in the Super Bowl, and what ultimately caused them to lose that Super Bowl at the end of it was the offensive line. Tried to revamp again this year for the second year in a row and Operation Protect Joe Burrow, their number one overall pick from last season. They got some new help, two seasons ago, new help coming in Lael Collins, coming in at tackle, and Alex Kappa coming in at guard. Lael Collins coming over from the Dallas Cowboys, Alex Kappa coming in from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to help round out this offensive line with Ted Karras, Jackson Carmen, Jonah Williams. It looks like for the first time in Joe Burrow's career, he has a stable front five on the offensive line to surround himself with. However, at practice, there has been some worries with this offensive line, how well they have played, but ultimately how much of that is on, you know, maybe Sam Hubbard and Trey Hendrickson, you know, being just absolute menaces on that defensive front, with DJ Reader, with BJ Hill, those guys being at practice, making, you know, probably making, you know, life tough for this offensive line and making sure that, you know, they build it, fight iron with, you know, iron meets iron type of situation on that, you know, in the trenches in Cincinnati. So that's just, you know, what we have, the new faces on the offensive line, which I'm excited to see how, you know, well they step up and help this unit out, in this offense out, in Lael Collins and Alex Kappa. I'm excited to see more of Joe Mixon. Of course, I'm excited to see Ja'Marr Chase. He was an electrifying player last year as a rookie. This year, you know, last year, almost 1,500 yards receiving and 13 touchdowns. My God, what he was able to do last year as a rookie. But I mean this year, blatant honestly, I mean, Ja'Marr Chase is still going to be an easy top 10 receiver and, you know, top 5 wide receiver in the National Football League this year. I just don't think he has a near 1,500 yard season. I don't think he has a 13 touchdown season that he did last year. But I want Joe Burrow. I mean, you know, I'm pushing this out there because I want the Bengals and I want Joe Burrow to prove me wrong. I want them to prove me wrong and do it again. Next year is what I'm excited for from this Bengals team, is getting them to shut me up pretty much, you know, with Ja'Marr Chase, with Burrow, with this team. But Burrow, he is, you know, cracking me up in terms of what he's been doing. So he ended up getting his appendix removed, hasn't been practicing with the team, you know, but what he is able to do, here we go, pull it up here at practice, just absolutely cracking me up. From Joe Burrow at practice. So here we see, looks like in the practice, you know, the team having to run here, do some sprints at practice, and look at that, Joe Burrow on his cart, sprinting with the team on the cart. I saw it the other day and, you know, just absolutely knew. Saw it yesterday and just knew I had to bring that into the show at some point today. So this offense in Cincinnati, passing game was going to look incredible with Joe Burrow, T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase, Tyler Boyd. I am, you know, expecting some slight regression, but at the same time, I'm giving them the challenge of proving me wrong and shutting me up. But I do want to see what ends up happening with the running back room. How much usage does Joe Mixon get this year? How involved do Samaje Perine and Chris Evans get this year in that backfield as well? Will be something worth monitoring from the Cincinnati Bengals team. So I talked about, you know, no Joe Burrow at practice. I mean, the defense in that regard has been showing out against the backups at practice, against, you know, Brandon Allen, Jake Browning, and those guys on that defense absolutely have been balling out. I talked about Trey Hendrickson, Sam Hubbard on that defensive line, making things, you know, a hard time for the offensive line. But even in the secondary, a lot of big things from Dax Hill, you know, the first-round pick out of Michigan, Cheetah Weyawuzie still there, Mike Hilton, Eli Apple. Say what you want about Eli Apple, but without, you know, Jesse Bates, who is the defensive leader of this group, who has not been practicing right now with the Bengals, they are still lighting it up for this offense in Cincinnati so far through, you know, throughout training camp. From all the reports I have read, this defense has been the unit that is really starting to show up in Cincinnati, which honestly excites me in terms of this team next year. I want to see an improvement on the offensive line, and I want to see improvement from this defense. Absolutely light some teams up this year and really start proving themselves as a contender and a surefire contender for the second year in a row in Cincinnati. I'm really excited about Dax Hill and how they used him around, especially once, you know, eventually once they get Jesse Bates back into the fold in that secondary. Dax Hill is going to be an absolute beast, the way that they're going to be able to move him around. And Jesse Bates, one of the top players, true safeties at his position in terms of what he's able to do as well. So the last thing we have from this Bengals team, Evan McPherson might be the best kicker in the National Football League this year. In his second year in the National Football League, I think he might be the best kicker in the National Football League. He's going to rival Justin Tucker next year for sure. I mean, he is on a tear right now in practice. I don't think he's missed anything in practice so far. And we're going to bring up just a monster, you know, kick that he had, back earlier this week in the jungle in front of the fans, firing them up. We're going to pull this up here from Evan McPherson, an absolute rocket of a leg that this young guy has on him. 65 yards, easy 65 yards at practice. Listen to the fans absolutely freaking roaring in Cincinnati. I love that guy. I love McPherson. I think he's going to be a top three kicker this year and have a shot to be the best kicker in the National Football League in the second year this year. So I'm excited about Evan McPherson. But real quick, before we get out of here, it looks like we have some news coming in on the Sean Watson situation. So while we're here discussing it, back at Jeff Darlington, so NFLPA says we have filed our reply brief to the NFL's appeal regarding the Deshaun Watson matter. Jeff Darlington says, and there you have it. Not major news here, but Roger Goodell's designee, Peter Harvey, now has all the information at his disposal to write his ruling on the appeal. NFL did not give me a timeline for a decision, but they did say they recognize it needs to be expeditious. There we go. So that's what we have coming in from the breaking news here on the Deshaun Watson matter in terms of what we have here. So that's what we have. Breaking news on the Deshaun Watson front. We'll see what happens and what the NFL's ruling will be as we wrap things up. So that is it for today's show. Thank you all for joining. Thank you all for stopping by. If you enjoyed today's episode, go ahead and hit the like button. If you have not subscribed to the channel, go ahead and do so as well. Supports us immensely here on the Slaw Sports Show. But thank you all for joining. Thank you all for stopping by. If you missed any part of today's episode, it will be posted on the YouTube channel at the Slaw Sports Show and on our podcast as well. Anywhere you get a podcast at the Slaw Sports Show. We have one more, division, one more week to go for our season previews. NFC North next week here on the Slaw Sports Show. So that's all the time we have for today. Thank you all for joining, and until next time.